Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Calhoun counties. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey of Senior Corps, retired and senior volunteer program of OLECAP. Inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Our show highlights as organizations and individuals who provide a lot of time and energy to build what King called a beloved community. Today, I'm pretty excited to be talking about the Mandala Center for Change and the Poetic Justice Theater Ensemble. And we will be speaking today with co-director of the center and the Poetic Justice Theater Ensemble, Jalay Amayi Weinblatt. Welcome, Jalay.
Thank you.
You for coming in today. So tell us, for those who have not heard about this, what this Mandala Center for Change is.
I like to call it an arts-based social justice organization. That's a quick hit to get a sense of what's at the core and center for us. We are theater artists, so our mode of social change is embodied. It's on the stage. It's very participatory. We focus on social change. Social justice is at the center of our work. Along with that is community dialogue and societal transformation, which are central to both our mission and an outcome of what happens with our work.
So how did the theater, the Poetic Justice Theater Ensemble, grow out of the Mandala Center?
So the Mandala Center was founded in 1999, and the Poetic Justice Theater Ensemble was founded right here in Port Townsend by my partner and co-director, Mark Weinblatt, in response to the political climate at the time, which was the Iraq War. So he and others were noticing a tension in the community, an unrest of what do we do about what's happening around us, and decided to spark dialogue using our local, what we call theater activists. And which is funny because the reality is most of the people who have been part of Poetic Justice, and now we're celebrating our 16th year, we've had a little under 100 people participate in the ensemble, and very few are actually self-proclaimed theater people.
Oh,
so, yeah, we're actually engaging community members who have a willingness to learn and have some skill, if any, to bring to the table. We certainly seek out those who have a little bit of background, but the reality
comfort
is,
with it.
we are citizen actors. And so that was its beginning. Mark, my partner, is also a theater artist and has been for many lifetimes, both starting in the traditional sense and growing into the applied theater modality.
And is that part of the playback theater? Is that part of Mark's work?
Yes. So Mark and I both are trainers of applied theater. I would say my niche is really playback theater, which is focused on storytelling. It's a participatory mode to help weave community through story sharing. And you have a group of trained actors and musicians to hear a story and then instantly recreate it on the spot. Not as a comedy improv, though some of our stories from life are pretty humorous.
I saw one that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, so funny moments come, but I like to delineate from comedy improv to say the real heart of playback theater is about deep listening and seeing each other. No one escapes the need to be seen and heard. And playback theater addresses that need through the venue of theater and stage.
You know, to belong, you have to be seen and heard.
Absolutely.
And belonging is such an important, crucial thing to
And though we don't hear everyone's story in an hour and a half or 2 hours, many of us are able to relate in some way. I call it the red thread. There's something that emerges over that time where we start to see the humanity of ourselves and each other in the room. It's a very healing form of
theater.
Very
powerful.
Very powerful. And you've been able to participate and see some of that work.
Yes, yes.
Now, Mark, though he's very skilled in playback theater and has been doing it for nearly 20 years, is actually a world-renowned trainer in a different form of applied theater called Theater of the Oppressed. And this is another form under the umbrella of applied theater, but it's very focused on problem solving. It is more analytical, and it doesn't require you to have training to be able to do it necessarily. Whereas playback, you really need the practice to be sort of the ninja actor with a lot of practice. And Theater of the Oppressed comes out of a movement that essentially is looking at how to empower those who are being oppressed to rise up and take action. So it is truly a citizen actor's form, truly created to be presented.
It's a subtle difference, but it's clear, really.
Yeah. And people get up on stage and try solutions to the problems that the actors are presenting in the most classic form of Theater of the Oppressed, which is called forum theater, which is, we do that quite often here in the community. And every summer, we have a global gathering right here in Port Townsend of people coming to train in this work. So it's very dynamic.
So what we're seeing when we go to a poetic justice ensemble, is that pretty much playback, or is there a little, do you blend
it's
the two
both,
at all?
Yeah, or? And you know, that's a really great question, because we are a very rare thing in the worldwide scene of people doing this work, because we blend or weave both forms. So if you were to attend a performance, it may be a complete playback theater performance where we're hearing stories and watching them recreated. It may be a complete forum theater. We present a short play about 5 minutes long showing a problem, and we invite people on stage to try different solutions, expecting that the wisdom is in the room. There's no one solution, but together we can begin to understand, how do we address white privilege? How do we address... my mind is just starting to spin with all of the different themes that we've brought.
And in a town of 8,000 people. That's what I think is amazing. You've pulled this off, really.
Yeah. And then the other option is you can come and you may see a blend of both, which is what we're doing in the Islam Under Siege From Phobia to Friendship performances, using stories to generate the empathy and the humanity, but then allowing that to go into a problem-solving mode. So what do we do when we hear hate speech? What do we do when we want to stand more firmly in our power, but maybe struggling for any number of reasons?
Right.
How can we be the ally that our Muslim brothers and sisters need, that all of the people around us from marginalized communities, especially in this time, are deeply calling for?
Right. And we need, it's the question of the day.
Yes.
Our times.
Yes.
Very much so. So how did you find your way to this?
I was begging my mom to be in a theater class when I was 4 years old. And she, bless her heart, she squeezed me into a class with some older kids, praying and demanding and coaxing the teachers to just let me in, just to see if I could do it. And I was just thriving. It was my home. So theater and the community of theater and the family that's created, the venue to express, to all of that, just all of it. I went to college to study it at Emerson in Boston. And it was only in my mid-early 20s that I realized that the social justice lens, that something more than just learning lines and getting up there and doing it or being the stage manager or helping produce it, I needed more engagement, and I needed it to fit into the world around me in a different way.
So was that because you were at a time where things were happening in the world that sort of brought this to a head for you about I need to do more?
You know, living in Boston definitely helped grow my edge. I am a Southerner by trade. I grew up in the Deep South, which
Boston
was...
Boston ought to do it.
Yeah, the Deep South definitely certainly politicized me. I'm also an Iranian-American woman with a Jewish background, so I've had my fair share of being a target of racism and stepping into being an ally because I carry the white privilege with light skin and having Irish ancestry as well, so, and European descent. So I've always had a political framework, but I just had so much fun doing theater for so long that it just took me a little bit of time to mature, I think, as a young adult to settle in and look at the world around me and think, if I'm going to do this the rest of my life, it's got to have more meaning. I've got to be serving.
And theater is a perfect home for this.
It really is. It just... And what was so surprising is that there's a whole... There are millions of people doing it in this way, applying theater for social healing and social change. And so when the light bulb went off for me and I started looking around, it was so easy to find the venues and the community groups and the projects to get the training and to find the community. And it was a real aha.
That's wonderful. So how has the focus changed over the years? Is every year a new game? Is it sort of slowly evolve, or are there sudden changes that have happened to you over the 16 years of what are we going to cover?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question for Mark. I came on as co-director about 4 years ago. So historical context is a good question for him. And what I can say in lieu of him being present to answer that question with a fun anecdote, he's full of them, is we have some basic programs, which include grassroots community workshops, applied theater trainings, diversity dialogues, that are staples that we do pretty consistently. Contracted out, we travel a fair bit internationally and regionally and here nationally. And also, we have to respond to the moment because we are a social justice organization. There is a constant edge. There is a constant movement that's building that we are a part of and that is constantly evolving. And so, for example, given the current political climate, there is a new wave of energy and need that's becoming more and more apparent minute to minute. And so the outreach that we're getting from people to say, hey, I'm interested in a program, I'd like to come to an effective allyship workshop, which is in January, or come to a training, that the people who are reaching out to us inform what we need to be giving or doing.
Which is why I called you to begin with.
Right.
You know, after the election, I just thought this was the best conversation we could have on air about this. So,
yeah, well, thank you. We're very blessed to be in a community that is quite responsive to our work, both theatrically, but it's not about the artistry for us. That's just our way of doing it because it's fun. Our motto is change the world and have a good time doing it. So we're doing that. But the real heart of it is the community dialogue. Right.
So the experience that we've been having as a country, recent events, that hasn't made you take some time off to recoup. You are ready and rolling to take action and to move forward on this.
Yes, I would say even that we have propelled, we have excelled forward more quickly. We did take a good 24, 48 hours to kind of walk around with our jaws kind of on the floor and in a daze to collect ourselves and say, wow, okay, so this is the new reality. How can we respond most effectively? And for me, at the end of the election week, I was very blessed to attend one of the largest racial justice gatherings in this nation in Atlanta, Georgia, called Race Forward. There were 2,300 people, mostly people of color, who gathered together to talk about what do we do? And this is a biannual gathering. It happened to be at the end of an election week where, you know, people like Van Jones or Linda Sarsour, who's the head of the Arab American Coalition in New York, who was one of the most influential speakers I heard there, separate from Van Jones and some other pretty amazing people, women who started the Black Lives Matter movement, and, you know, people who are in the work, in the trenches, saying, here's what I'm seeing and here's what I'm needing and here's what I'm recommending. And one of the strongest messages among many that I heard that we at Mandala Center are very committed to is staying in action, staying alive, awake, empowered, in action, and accessible, not only to maybe the small group that we have been, but to begin to look at how can we broaden what we're doing? How can we further our reach? How can we be even more inclusive? What are the courageous conversations to have to engage those on the fringe, the marginalized folk around us who are scared, who their need is much higher, and we must respond from a place of love and action in a fierce and committed way.
Exactly. And I stood doing interviews at the food bank the day after the election, and I was blown away by the fear level, and also just the feeling that the antidote was being there together. It was really amazing to me. It was beautiful. So how can your community, how can our community help you? What do you need from us to help you? How can we participate in it, and how can we help?
Thank you for asking. You know, funny, the first thing that came to me was the word courage. I think what I personally need from people is the courage to show up to these dialogues. I need their courage to perhaps read an article that we're putting out that might be uncomfortable or might be something to critique. And I believe it's not a time to tear each other down. It's a time to help build each other up and give critique in a way that helps build each other. So if we're engaging an ally or someone within our organization to write a blog post, perhaps, that might be coming from a tender place as a person of color or as a Muslim woman or whatever it may be, I'm asking for people to tune in, to know that Mandala Center for Change is a hub on an international level, and we are making ourselves available to this community as a resource, both in our trainings, our public workshops, our performances with Poetic Justice Theater Ensemble. I need folks to notice that we're available and to show up more than anything.
And be part of the conversation.
Be part of the conversation.
And you have a workshop coming up in January, 28th and 29th.
We
want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. And that's a great example of a place to show up with your courage. It's called Effective Allyship. It's Saturday and Sunday, January 28th and 29th, 9 to 5:30 both days. It will attract a fair number of people from town and the county, along with people regionally and farther abroad. And that's essentially a place where we can be together to look at, sometimes we refer to them, the shorthand as the isms, sexism, ableism, you know, all of the isms, ageism. How can a man be an ally to a woman? How can an able-bodied person be an ally to someone with a disability? You know, how can someone recognize that whatever number of privileges you may be carrying, we can actually leverage those to stand for ourselves more clearly and the people around us who need the support. So,
you know,
it will be theater based, so it's going to be fun. I feel like I can always guarantee, even, you know, taking really hard topics and putting this spin on it where you get to play games, you get to hear stories, you get to create a world together that isn't just in the mind. And it's not, no one is showing up to tear each other down or play right. The who's the better white person, who's the better activist
right.
in the room. It's like, we're all just showing up, whatever, you know, ethnicity, whatever racial background, whatever sexual orientation, we're just here together to learn and to grow
and to listen
and to be in action,
yes,
you know,
together.
Yes.
That's great. So is there a website that we could go to learn more about?
There is. Yeah. www.mandalaforchange.com. www.volunteersinvolunteeropportunities.com lists right on our homepage all of the public events, and then further in has resources, materials, links to other groups and organizations, videos, things that have been written, you know, on these topics.
There is so much to talk about on this topic. I can't. I'm so grateful that you came in today, and we will do this again before your July events that are coming up.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9, Port Townsend, Washington. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey, and our production coordinator is Mike Schletzer. I'd like to thank KPTZ's programming manager, Larry Stein. I also want to thank Pat Rogers and all the volunteers at KPTZ who work many hours with a lot of love to bring us all eclectic music and local conversations, both here in Jefferson County, Washington, and on the web at KPTZ.org.